We're going to be in the book of James. Book of James. Once again, this morning. James chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 19 this morning. Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." So we talked about this message, this three-part message. We talked about this a bit last week. It gives us the condition, right? The condition for receiving this gift of God, right? This gift that God is trying to give us. You see, here's the thing. God is trying to give us something. Amen?
Amen.
You follow what we've been talking about in this chapter, in this epistle, really. But really, God has given us something. God's trying to give us something through the trying of our faith and through these temptations. And so God's trying to get. Look over to verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this." Here's how we find the joy. Here's why it's joy, because we know something, right? It's happy. Why is Christmas Day exciting to children? Because they know something, right? They know something. I'm gonna get a present, or probably more than one. Right, I'm gonna get some presents, and so they have joy before they even got it, and they say, well, you know, and then you know the thing is about Christmas. I'm gonna take a little rabbit trail for a second. It's actually kind of a bummer leading up to it because kids don't get anything, right? All little gifts, everything, and I can remember my mom saying, well, you know, now my family was different. I didn't. My mom, so you can ask Santa Claus. Of course, I knew Santa Claus was my mom. But, and she's like, well, you got to ask, you know, you're not going to ask for Christmas. So, like, for 6 months, you can get nothing. Right? Hey, can I get a new shirt? Well, you're going to have to say about Christmas. So it kind of becomes like you get nothing, but then there's this joy because you know there was going to be something. This is kind of what, it's not exactly the same thing at all, not even close. But here's the idea. Even though we're going through this trial, there's joy because we know that God's doing something, and that's why there's joy in it. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and but let have patience have our perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. So notice that this is. Notice how this is lined up backwards, in a sense, or we're going to how it's lined up here. God is trying to give us wisdom, right? God is trying to give us wisdom, and so that we can, just as we sing with Solomon, right? Trying to give it to his son. We talk about that on Wednesday nights. This just as God is trying to give us wisdom. That wisdom then will cause us to let patience have her perfect work in us. And when patience has her perfect work in us, that patience, though, comes from the trying of our faith that God's allowed. So there's this process that we have to go through. Right? There's this process that we have to go through. We want to get to that place. Don't you want wisdom?
Amen.
I mean, let me rephrase it. You do want wisdom. You do want wisdom. Oh, you really do. Wisdom isn't just, I just want to know everything. No, that's not what wisdom is. Wisdom is when you come up to make a decision. Like, I don't know what to do. Ha! That's wisdom. You ever get that situation? Like, I wish I just knew how to handle this, right? You ever like that? I'm like that all the time. All the time. Like, God, would you help me? Because I need to know. I want God, would you give me? But I don't know. And you know, God wants to give it to us how? Liberally. The only thing we like liberal, right? Is God gives it to us liberally, right? And this is... So then remember that this three-part message then, number one, swift to hear. So if we're going to receive the gift from God, we have to hear it. We have to hear it. Okay, we have to hear. If we're going to get something from God,
right? If we're going to get this gift that God is trying to give, we've got to hear what He's trying to do with it. In other words, if God's trying to do something, we have to listen for it and be open to it. If a coach is trying to teach kids how to play soccer or baseball, I know more about baseball. I don't know anything about soccer. I played soccer when I was a little kid, 1 year. But baseball I played for some years. And so, you know, you're trying to teach a kid, hey, you got to hold the bat. You got to choke up on the bat. You got to do this. And the kid's, nah, just, I'm going to do it my way. Right? And you're like, no, if you're going to hit it, and then they swing, they miss, swing. No, choke up a little bit, and they're like, no, I don't like that. That doesn't feel right. And they just do it their way. It's kind of us sometimes. Right? God puts us there. God said, I want to help you with something. I want to help you to get this kind of thing I'm trying to teach you that you're lacking in your life. And God brings something. We're like, let me do this. Let me go through this thing the same way I always go through them. Right? Crying and weeping and sad and depression. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, sometimes I'm going to try to go through this. God says, first, you're going to have to hear. You're going to have to listen. Right? You're going to have to hear what I'm trying to do in your life. The second thing was this slow to speak, which is that not giving the answer, but listening. You know, we ought not try to be ready to already know how to do this. Because if God's trying to grow us, then we need growing. Right? By the way, that's all of us, right? If there's no really if. We all need to grow and God's trying to grow us. And praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. And so, if we're just going to say, no, I'm going to hold the bat the way I want to hold the bat, and God says, it's not going to work that way. So, yeah, but I think this time is going to be better. I think I'm going to keep my eye on the ball better. No, but you just, and imagine this, and it's the illustration breaks down here because without Him, I can do nothing. You see, without Him, this isn't, I'm going to get good enough doing it my way. See that? I'm not going to get good enough at following Him without following Him. See, so we've got to get this thing. So we've got to just be slow to speak. Listen, doesn't mean we don't put some of our own thoughts and wisdom. We ask God for wisdom. But then we get to that third thing, that three-part thing was the third one was slow to wrath. Consider this here. What God is doing. So listen, consider what God is doing. Okay, I want to really emphasize that because this is all last week. We're catching up from like the last 3 weeks, but by way of introduction, we're thinking about what is God doing? Okay, what is God doing? What is the situation He's doing in my life? Not the situation, but what is the lesson He's trying to teach me? By the way, I don't always know what that is. Matter of fact, hindsight doesn't always tell me what that is. Sometimes I get through it and I'm like, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you did. And you're like, praise the Lord, I'm through that. And I've trusted you. And you look back and say, what was God doing there? I don't know. Sometimes we do know. Sometimes hindsight, we're like, oh, I see what God's doing now. Praise the Lord. Right? And so, but it's, consider this. What's God doing? God's doing something. Not how can I get out of it? Which is, I'm telling you, what I'm telling you to do, go against your own nature. That's really what I'm saying. Go against your own nature. What's normal for us to do? Don't do that. Look to God. But here's the thing: the more we live for Him, that becomes our nature, right? When you get to the place that when the trial comes to your life, you start with saying, "Okay, I wonder what God's doing something. Let's put the seatbelt on. Let's buckle in. Let's see what God's going to do here." You know what you have then? You have a new nature. And then that becomes normal for you. And then it becomes such an exciting thing. But he said, that'll keep us from being angry at the situation. When we look at the situation, it's difficult, it's hard. This isn't fair. You ever said that? Thought that? Why did this happen to me? This isn't fair. Why do I have to get this thing? You know? One of my daughters, I'm not going to say which one, but one of them had bought her first car. And bought her very first car she'd ever owned. And maybe didn't completely realize when that notice came to renew your registration.
that needed to be done like immediately. I guess she's like, oh, okay, there's, you know, it's kind of new. She had, she was, I think it was 2, maybe 3 weeks past the date. It was, and in that city where we live, the police would, their most primary thing was running plates and seeing if your registration was expired. Anyway, so pulled her over, gave her a ticket that was more than the registration, like double the registration. It's just this. So I thought, man, you know, I was annoyed by this. So then I had this another coworker, their family, it was her husband. She was the secretary. Her husband was driving by a few weeks later, and they pulled him over. I seen him pulled over. I was coming to church. I seen he was pulled over by the police, and so I'm like, hey, I seen you. No, anyway. And so nothing worse than that. You're like, oh man, everybody's seeing me, right? And same thing. His registration had expired, but they let him off on a warning. I'm gonna tell you what. It's hard to stay in the spirit, not get in the flesh. You know what I mean? Like what? You know, but God does things. You know, so we can get. You know, we can find ourselves getting into wrath, right? I think I got angrier than she did. I probably for sure did. Is that what she was saying? She's like, I don't know. But I'm like, you know, isn't this something how that happens? And here's what God said. Listen, it's not about what that particular situation is. It's not the issue. Don't get mad about that. Look to God. God, what are you trying to do with me in each of these situations? So, listen, let's look here. I want to go on now. But there's still more to it, okay? If you do those three things, everything's going to be perfect. No. Okay, there's more to it. Look at verse 22 now. Verse 22 with me. But be ye, what's that next word? Doers of the word, and not what? Hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, I just got done telling you why you got to hear. You got to hear. You got to listen to God. You got it, right? I just kind of spent some time doing that. But now what God gives James to tell us is this. It's like, that's not enough. That's where we start, but it's not enough. You don't just hear it. Listen, the Word of God is not a book of information. I want you to listen to what I'm saying here. This is not just a book of information. It's not like something we just read to know. It's not God's purpose. It's a book of action. Amen? You see that? You see that in there? It's a book of action. The Lord is not instructing us on these things so we might know about these things. But I want you to know about stuff so you can know about stuff. He wants us to know about these things so that we can do them, right? To do them. He wants us to do these things. The person that only gains more knowledge but doesn't act on that knowledge is deceived. Let's read that verse again. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So the one that just gains the knowledge and hears it and gets it in, but doesn't do anything with it, they become deceived. But it's the worst kind of deception. It's some of the worst kind of deception, because it's this. When we hear it, so when we hear but don't do, we've deceived ourselves into thinking hearing is enough. See, what we end up doing now is we think, I've done the best part. I've been in church, or I've listened to the pastor, or I've listened to the teacher, or I've listened to somebody, and I've learned this thing, and now I know stuff. Isn't knowing stuff great? I would rather know stuff than not know stuff. Amen? Don't you want to know stuff? I like to know stuff. I like to learn. I do. I like to learn. I don't really spend much time at all reading fiction. It just doesn't interest me to read fiction. Some people do it for entertainment. I'm not saying you shouldn't. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying for me, it has no interest to me. I don't want it. But if there's, I don't care what it is. I mean, to some extent, I'm reading. I've been reading. Even this morning, I was reading about this rocket, this starship that blew up, And I didn't really hear about it. I just, a post comes up and I'm like, oh, so I want to read it. I want to know about it. Why? I don't know why. I don't know. I just like to know stuff. And somebody says, hey, did you hear about that? Yeah. And I can't know everything. You know, there's a lot of stuff that comes up. But sometimes it was interesting because we live here around space stuff. Right? So I want to know about space stuff. People say space stuff and I'm like, I don't know. You know, and so it's interesting. I saw it, read a little bit, it was from CNN, so I'm sorry. So I'm not sure if it's true. But anyway, so you get some of that. So the point is here, listen, getting stuff is good, and reading and listening and learning something, but if all I learn it for is so that I know it, and I know Bible stories, I know verses, I can quote verses, and I know it, but it doesn't. Listen, it's a deception. If I think when we think it's just hearing it, this is, by the way, this is the way mediocre Christianity has pervaded our society. Listen, it's when the believer is satisfied with only learning truth. Listen to what I'm saying. When the believer is only satisfied with only learning truth, understanding it well enough to teach it to others, but not actually doing it. See, I want to know about stuff, and I learn about the Bible. I've learned it good enough that I can tell it to someone else. And we can debate, or we can talk about what's the right thing to do, right? And we can actually become a pretty good teacher at what the right thing is to do because I've learned it. I've talked about being a teacher. I can read a book on welding and teach you how to weld. Right. I can read a book on welding and I can tell you how. Listen, here's what you do. We can get in the classroom and I can tell you about welding. And then you give me an arc welder and I'm like, I've read it. But I don't really do this. And you take that welder and just start bouncing the rod across the metal. Yeah. See, that's how you do it. Well, if anybody knows about welding, you know, that wouldn't do it at all. Right. You understand what I'm saying? And so just reading and reading, knowing about something and never have done it, what it causes is this mediocre Christianity. It's, listen, we've become a society that sits around talking about things of God with people that already know about things of God without doing any of the things of God. I find it's just kind of an amazing thing to me how much time we can spend talking about how we, all with people that say they believe God, but how we believe it better than you believe it, and they say, no, we believe it. We debate about who believes it better, right? And then those that believe it together, we'll talk about how well we believe it and how they believe it different, right? You understand what I'm saying? We spend a lot of time and then not doing anything with it, but we got it. And so this is what can happen is when we become hearers, right, and not doers, We become like this pool, a salty, right? It just or like something like here, this pond that just gets a little. I mean, I haven't smelt it back there, so praise the Lord for that. But some ponds you get there, they just stink, rotten, and this is what can kind of happen. He said, "Listen, the problem is this: we've deceived ourselves with it, thinking this was good enough." So look at the first example of this behavior. Look at verse 23. He says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So look, here we have this example that he's given us. He said, let me tell you about it. Now let me give you an illustration of this is what's happening. He says, you're looking into the mirror. The mirror. Here's our mirror, by the way. We know that, right? We understand that this is the mirror. There's no question about that. This is the mirror, and we'll see that a little bit more clear in a second. But I'm sure we understand. If not, we'll see it in a minute. The hearer and not doer, the one that hears and not does, looks at himself in the mirror of the Word of God. Looks at himself there, sees himself. Listen, he doesn't just take a quick glimpse, like, oh yeah, cool. No. He actually, but it says there, a man beholding. The word beholding really means this. It means to contemplate. It means to consider what he sees. And so the we're talking about the hearer but not doer looks in that mirror, beholds himself
right? Looks at himself there, beholding himself there, and and his natural face, right? And beholding himself, who he is. But this isn't someone that just doesn't consider themselves. They are certainly seeing these things, right? So sometimes you say, well, they just take a glance at it. No, the word behold, he says, really, he's trying to get, by the way, this is an illustration, so let's not dig theologically too much in this illustration, but what he's trying to illustrate is, this is somebody that really does look in this thing, because they've done what? They've heard, right? So they've done the first part. They've actually done this thing, and they've done the, by the way, which is the right part. We should quit here and just doing. No, that's dangerous too. That's a different kind of dangerous. We're not talking about that here. But he said, listen, they see this. And so he sees his face or his life, where he falls short, and where he slacked concerning the Lord. He sees himself. But then we see the problem. The problem here is in verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and what? Goeth his way. You see? And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So here's the problem. He goes away. So the problem isn't the failure to see or even to acknowledge his natural face. No, no, no. No, he looked there and see, man, I'm a mess. I've got some areas in my life, some pride. I've got some bitterness, right? Look in that thing and say, you know, I've got some jealousy, right? There's some issues. You ever been mad and forgot why you was mad? You know what I mean? You just mad. Something happened, and somebody did something and just kind of annoyed you, and whatever it was, maybe it, probably usually it's a smaller thing. Sometimes it's a big thing, and you're mad about it, and you go on and you know you just but you kind of hold it, and you always kind of cut your eyes at it. Roll your eyes. I mean, secretly roll your eyes. Because, you know, we did it publicly. We looked like a little girl. You know what I mean? We don't do that publicly. So we kind of, so, and then time goes on, and we kind of, and then we still don't like him. I'm mad at him. And yes, why don't you just get that right? Get what right? I ain't mad at him. Now you don't even know why you don't like him. Something just happens. You see, it becomes these things. There's things that we look in the mirror and we start seeing some of the stuff about us. God starts revealing something. By the way, God does speak to us, folks. Let's go. God speaks to us through this thing, and he speaks to you directly. This is a living word. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
I mean, we got a telephone line from God right here. Except we use our eyes. You understand? And so we find this thing. I keep pictures of my girls for bookmarkers in here. And so sometimes this is joy. She'll be here next month, and you'll get to see her in real life. So God speaks to us through his word. He's talking to me. And God, you know, sometimes God says, well done. Usually he's saying, straighten up. Right? Because we got a lot of straightening up to do. God isn't mostly exalting us, right? So he goes, and see, we've seen this and goes away. It isn't the failure to see the things or to acknowledge his natural face. No, he's done that. The problem is, here's the problem. He doesn't allow it to make a change in him or her. Mostly hers. Y'all with me? See if y'all paying attention. Okay, sorry. No. The problem isn't whether they've heard, because now we're assuming there's a hearing. There's a hearing, right? There's a slow to speak, and you get wrapped. Okay, now you've got it. You've seen it. Like, wow, that's really amazing what God's showing you there. And God's done this thing. He's tried, brought us through this, show us this thing. It's the gift he's given us. That's the gift he's given us. That we can see something in my life, and we open it up, and there's a mirror there, and you're like, oh, it's me. And what I've done in my life, and God says, so here's the thing. And so we look at that and say, wow, that's me. And then we kind of just close the flaps put it away, and walk on. And don't let it change us at all. It's like going through this trial. It is not like it is completely going through this trial. Going through this challenge, God's trying to do something in your life. You see what He's trying to do. You see what God wants to deal with in your life. And you say, I'm not going to do that. And we push it away. We really, it's in the sense what we're doing is saying, God, I'm going to give your gift back to you. I don't want it. You ever had somebody refuse to take your gift? Wouldn't that be, I mean, what kind of kid with it? What a brat. Hey, I got something for you, but I don't want it. No, it's a gift. I don't want it. I don't want your gift. If a kid did that, he'd be like, that's the last one you're getting.
Amen.
You know what I mean? Little brat. You know, I mean, we kind of think that way. Think about us, God showing us something. We hear it and not do it, and we're giving it back to God. I don't know if God says, you little brat. I'm glad God doesn't. I'm glad God doesn't treat us the way we would treat each other. You know what I mean? Man, He's so much more patient. That's why we needed that patience coming there. Listen, the problem is that when we see it, we don't let it change it. So instead, just go away from it. Thinking that knowing about truth is growth. This is what I'm saying. For us to think that knowing about truth is growth is not wise. Let that sink in for a moment. If we think, because I know stuff, I'm a mature Christian, it's not wise. Not at all. And we're going to deal with that more in the book of James. Y'all know about the book of James, what's coming up next down the road here. Listen, just because we know stuff, that is not growth, right? It's not just what we know. It's more than that. He goes on this. This one that looked at the mirror, beheld himself, then walked away without it changing him. And notice there what happened. It says, and straightway, at the end of verse 24, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. And here's this. He forgets what he just saw. Here's the problem. We look in the Word of truth, and it reveals something to us. But we don't come to the altar. We don't let it alter us. We let the image that God was trying to help us to see, we let it just fade away. And then we forget we saw it. But forget here, I think the idea is that we dismiss it intentionally. Sometimes we don't want to let the Word of God change us, even when we know it will make us what we ought to be. See, here's what I'm saying. Sometimes we see this issue, we know what God wants, but we don't let it change us because I know what God's trying to do in my life and I don't want it. Maybe because we're scared. If I do that, what's it going to cost me? Maybe because we already enjoy who we are and we know who we are, right? Sometimes what happens is we're safe with what we know, right? I know what I know, and this is where safety is. At least, I know there's some issues with me, right? And I know I'm not what I ought to be, but at least I know what I am.
Amen.
And if I do that, that's a little scary, right? I kind of like this, and at least I'm safe with this. And God says, well, safe isn't really the place I want you to be at, right? I want you to grow, and sometimes growing, no, let me rephrase that word, always, growing is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. So maybe it's because we don't want the change in our life. You know, I realized something yesterday. You see me take my daughter explained to me, my glasses have this glare on them. So when I look up at you, I just see a bunch of lights. And so that's why I take my glasses off. I'm going to try to get that fixed. Because I want to look at you. Right? If you see me wearing too much, that's because... No. Sometimes God shows us something. When I say sometimes, I mean probably a lot. If we'll be honest. God shows us something that's in my life that I know really shouldn't be.
but I like it. You know? And God says, hey, you really need to work on this thing. And you say, yeah, but I kind of like that thing. And we kind of have this, and so we walk away from that mirror and forget what we see. So I don't really know all the whys why people do that, but this is what the Bible said is going on in this situation. But can I say that there's an alternate response to this? Look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So that's what I said. I told you later, I'll tell you, the mirror is actually talks about what the mirror is. Okay. Before it just says the mirror. But here we have, he talks about it's the perfect law of liberty. Right? He said, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. So we find here the same looking into the mirror of this law of liberty, right? But this time, instead of going our way, we continue therein. You know, it's not just a look and go, whoo, I'm a mess. Someday, I'm going to be a better person. Right? A lot of folks will have this kind of thing when they're young. They'll say, you know, when I'm older, I'll go to church. Right? When I'm older, I'll live for Jesus. Right? When I'm older, I'll quit my bad habits and do, you know what I'm saying? You know, and then, you know, older changes. Because older gets older. Right? It used to be, I say, you know, when they were saying that, older, they were thinking, you know, when I'm in my 20s. That, you know, not my 30s. And then we find, you know, we're in our 60s. Like, well, you know, I'm still, you know what I'm saying? So we kind of keep this thing rolling when I'm getting, and you know, what we find is we continue to look and go. But there's an alternative here. It's to look at the Word of God and let it change us. Really what actually the purpose of it is. Would you agree with me on that this morning? Okay, let me say it again. Okay, the purpose of the Word of God is for God to change us into His image. Amen? Is that right?
Amen.
That's right. So if that's its purpose, I mean, God, it's not just to have knowledge. It's not just to be puffed up, right? It's to let it show us how to live. You know, you ever play a game with people that just make up their own rules? House rules, you know, they kind of play their own way. You know, people play Uno or something like that their own way. I'm a rule reader. I want to know the rules. And I want to know the rules so when somebody breaks the rules, and now it's not the right rules. We're playing this way. I don't read the rules just so I can say, oh, that's an interesting, now let's play it however. That wouldn't make sense, would it? Why would we want to know what God wants just to not do it? Isn't that weird? But yet we do it, don't we? Because you know what we do? We want to know what's right so I can tell others how they're not. And I want to know what's right, and then I want to decide which ones I want to pick. And we call that sometimes, we call it cut and paste Christianity. We cut off the parts I don't like. Right? Yeah, I believe that one. But the parts that we really like, we paste more into it. You know what I mean? And we kind of do some of this kind of stuff. Listen, it's to look at the Word of God and let it change us. It changes us and because we continue in it. That's what he said, they continue in it. Not being a forgetful here only, but a doer of what it showed us. So being a doer of what it showed us maybe isn't actually... So being a doer isn't necessarily... Okay, now I did that, I got to go do stuff. Okay? What's the stuff I do? Sometimes you're like, what do I need to do for Jesus? And it gets a little confusing. What exactly? We know one thing that's very sure. We've been talking that Sunday night, so we've been continuing. One thing we know for sure is the Great Commission. We know that. That's the main thing, right? But it is, so I've learned something about me. I need to go tell other people about Christ. Well, it's a little bit more than that. Sometimes the doing is stop doing something. My bad habit. My fear. Right? My distrust of God, my taking over things myself, right? And doing is sometimes is Sometimes it's not doing it. Stop doing it. You know, and so it's, but the point is, what I'll keep saying this, I need to go do something. The doing here means let that thing have an effect on us. It changes us and it causes us some change in our life. So let's not forget the whole context here. God is trying our faith, allowing temptation to come so that we might see ourselves in that mirror. You know, really what God is trying to do is trying to cause us to look. And so I'm telling you, we've talked about this already. I don't want to just keep belaboring this, but when challenges come in our life, with our family, with each other, with our life, with our health, whatever it is, sickness and death and whatever the things come, it causes us now to seek out God. Amen? It causes us to seek Him out. And God, when we seek Him out, we see something. We begin to look in that mirror. And this is what God's trying to do. He's trying to draw us to Him. And when we don't do, we come up empty. Verse 7, he said this, "For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." We're talking about there, he's talking about asking of faith, but it's this thing of, so don't think, if we're not going to do it God's way, don't think we're going to get something out of it. Well, at least I'm going to be better than I was before. No, it doesn't work like that. Experience alone isn't our teacher for the believer. It's faith and the growing of our faith that we become this thing. But when we let it have its perfect work in our life, directing us into what it is that God wants to do in our lives, then we'll be blessed. So it said, verse 25, again, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So, here's the message, or the rest of the lesson where we end this morning is this. Respond to what God's doing in your life. Respond to what God is doing in your life. What a waste of a good trial. Well, they're not good, are they? Trials aren't. Man, that's great. You know, if God's bringing it to us, for us, He's giving us that gift. Let's not let it waste. Father, I pray that You would help us with these things. Lord, You're so clear to us in Your Word and Your plan and Your desire. Lord, thank You for this epistle that You had James pen for us, and even till today that man has been dealing with this same issue, and here we are today still dealing with this same issue. Lord, help us to not just desire to be puffed up with knowledge. Lord, we might let what You're doing in our life change us, that we might be less like us and more like You. Lord, pray that You'd have Your own way in the service to follow this morning. We'll give You thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen.